Take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that provides us with the illumination we need to have in order to see what's really going on here in the earth, the purpose for it, the benefit of it, and the fact that ultimately the purpose is to glorify you by means of its application because it demonstrates your absolute faithfulness and truth. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, a couple of passages we referenced here on Wednesday relating to doctrine as the basis for our viewpoint. And of course, that's the big challenge. The next section of our study is on the doctrine of evil. And of course, the doctrine of evil stands in juxtaposition with the doctrine of truth. And the two are in opposition. And of course, we're going to see that evil was the system that Satan concocted in order to take on God. That was his purpose. And he uses it to create the public lie that causes people to be deceived and to think they're doing the right thing when they're not. That's the whole purpose of evil. So the whole thing is to take away from the absolute veracity of God and his word and try to diminish it. At least in people's thinking. Of course, you never can diminish it because we understand from 1 Corinthians, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 13:8, or 2 Corinthians, it's in 13:8, that you can do nothing against the truth, only for the truth. So ultimately, the truth prevails no matter what. So this gives us a venue for the application of doctrine and the correction of our perception. Of course, Hebrews 11 is described as a faith chapter because, remember, Hebrews 11 parlays itself into Hebrews 12:1. In Hebrews 12:1, we bring in Jesus, who's the ultimate manifestation of God's grace and truth. And so he's the ultimate facet of faith or doctrine. So Hebrews 11 starts with basically this is a passage that refers kind of to John 1, where in the beginning, it was not a beginning, God existed eternally with God. And of course, from that whole sequence comes the creation of the angelic sphere as well as the universe and then mankind. So doctrine is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We saw that word conviction was the word hypostasis that has to do with an invisible substructure. Conviction is kind of a poor translation because it doesn't really reveal what's going on there. It's the invisible reality that the visible reality exists on. We called it a substructure. It's called, the word is actually in the Greek is hypostasis, as we saw several months ago. For by it, that is by doctrine, men of old gained approval. So the way approval was acquired was by means of the application of the word of truth. That was the issue. And always that's the issue in the devil's world because Satan's agenda is to obfuscate and refute the truth. That's what he wants to do. By means of doctrine, we understand that the worlds were prepared for the Word of God, by the Word of God, that's He spoke and the earth came into existence, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. So that's the ex nihilo or bara. Ex nihilo is the Greek, bara is the Hebrew, and it has to do with creating something out of nothing, which is what God does. That's why when we look at Genesis, we see basically two creations. Or one creation and a reformation. This is a way to really look at it. Because bara starts at the beginning. And then you have, that's to create something out of non-existent material. That's the words spoke and the earth came into existence. Then the second part after in Genesis 1-3 is the earth was reformed out of existing materials. So again, there's one creation, there's a gap, and then there's a reformation. And then of course you have man's history on that back of that reformation. By means of doctrine, we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen is now made out of things was not made out of things which are visible. By means of doctrine, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, the only difference between the two of them was one was positive to truth and the other was negative. And we understand from 1 John that Cain was actually an unbeliever. And he had no reason to be an unbeliever. He chose to be. And now he's a perfect representation of all unbelievers in that regard. I mean, God disclosed himself to Cain just as much as he disclosed himself to Abel. Now, we look in our world today and things are a little more not so clear because you think that God isn't revealing himself to certain people in certain places because of their remoteness and, or their disconnection from what we refer to as civilization. But that's not true. The Holy Spirit reveals himself to everyone, everywhere, all the time. In fact, what's interesting is that our nation is actually becoming a heathen nation, having rejected God. So now we're on the downside of the cycle if we choose to persist in it. That's why we've got such a big challenge in our country right now. We're going to actually kind of talk about it today, because the problem with evil is it's really hard to get rid of. Sin is simple to get rid of. You just simply acknowledge it. Evil has to, you got to change your thinking. That's where the word repent comes in. You see, I talked about this last time or the time before, that when God, Jesus is talking to the Jews, he first starts in the context of belief. John 3:16. Then he gets into the concept of repent. And then when he gets back to the Gentiles, it's belief. Well, why is this repent there in the middle? That causes a lot of Christians to be confused. They think they have to repent to be saved. No. You don't have to repent to be saved unless you already rejected God. Then you might, because then you got to change your thinking. You see, repentance only comes into view when you already have a preconceived idea about something that's wrong. Well, that's what we have to do with evil. See, we got to reform, and we're going to talk about that. Evil is it creates a frame of reference and a set of norms of standards in your head that's wrong. And that has to be changed. And we got that going on in our country today. The reason there's so much objection to our president is because he wants to take us back to the original principles that are in the Constitution. And we've gone away from that for 50 to 100 years. All right? So we've been on this huge tangent off to the left, I guess you could say. And Trump's trying to bring it back. Well, everything out there is trying to keep him from bringing it back. Now, he's got the catbird seat now, so we're going to really see it start to move. But there's been a lot of resistance up to now. And that's the same kind of resistance that we have in our own thinking when God comes to us with truth, with doctrine. Because if we have preconceived ideas, then those preconceived ideas have to be removed before we can accept the truth. We talked about that a long time ago when we were talking about metabolism. You have catabolism and anabolism, the two pieces. Catabolism is tearing down, anabolism is building up. But before you can renovate a house, for example, you have to tear down the inside, what's there, remove stuff around. If you're moving walls, you move them out. Then you rebuild it, and you put a new carpeting in, a new, and so you end up with an entirely new structure in the inside, you see. That's what God's doing with us. But to do, and the catabolism relates to evil. That's got to be deconstructed and out of our brains before the new can be established. See, that's why it's hard, and that's what's happening in our country. We used to be on the right track. We've gone off the track for the last 100 years or so, and really the last 50, big time. And now we've got a president who's standing firm in establishment, which is the original principles. That's why there's so much resistance against him. It's no different than the resistance that will be against Jesus. The difference is that Trump doesn't have the authority to do what Jesus is going to do. He's going to wipe them all out before he even starts. He has the authority to do that. He's the only one that does. The rest of us have to deal with it. And it's an incremental process. And, of course, that whole process is a benefit to us because we get to apply doctrine during it. See, that's our challenge. We have to recognize that the issue in our life is to wait on God to come through for us in His way and His time, and so that we follow Him, not get ahead of Him. And I talked about that last time, how the big players in God's plan have always got ahead of God. Moses got ahead of God. Abraham got ahead of God. David got ahead of God. Paul got ahead of God. And it cost them dearly. Had they waited behind the Holy Spirit and let the lead of the Spirit take them where He was going and waited on God to come through, then they would have had all the prosperity that God wanted to give them without the hang-ups, without the problems. See, we create our own problems. That's why most of our problems are self-induced, because we get out ahead of God. So timing is a critical component in spirituality, understanding that and waiting on God, the Holy Spirit. Abraham offered a better sacrifice, that one was accepted, through which he obtained a testimony that he was righteous. See, there's the other thing. Righteousness is the application of truth. Okay? Evil is the application of the lie. Right? So that's the two things are antithetical. God is testifying about his gifts through the doctrine. Though he is dead, he still speaks. So remember the scripture, Cain killed Abel because of his evil intent. But Abel still speaks to us from the grave in the scripture, which is eternal. It never goes away. People will be learning about Abel infinity future because he was the first martyr of God's people. The first martyr. By means of doctrine, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. And it was not found because God took him up, and when he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So Enoch had so much doctrine that God took him out of the world. Now, you got to realize what was going on there. Remember what's characteristic of the antediluvian civilization? Enoch was a prophet of righteousness. The angels were killing God's people because of the attack of the angelic sphere on humanity. They were attempting to corrupt humanity. And if God hadn't taken him, he would have been killed. So God spared him. That's all was going on there. Nothing magic. God took him out because he wasn't going to allow Satan's people to kill him. He would have been taken out. Because if you look where he lived right there at the ascendancy of just before Genesis 6. And then the next cycle was who? Methuselah. When he dies, it comes. And Methuselah lived the longest of any of them. And he was the tripwire, the trigger for the flood. So when he dies, it comes. That's what his name means. In Romans 2, so we see here that doctrine is the entire basis of our viewpoint if we want it to be right. In Romans 2, we see by the standard of thinking we're to have from this, for the grace given to me, I see everyone among you not to think more highly than he should, but to think as to have a sound judgment as God has conveyed to each of us a standard of reference for thinking from doctrine. It's the word measure, which is metron. See, look at this word here, metron. Does that remind you of something? It's called what, 39 some odd inches? This is a weird number. It's metric. I mean, that's where the metric word for meter comes. The word for meter comes from that. So it's a standard of reference. And we have yards in the English system. This is really based on some weird thing. This is actually more rational, the way it's developed, but we didn't learn it first. We learned it second. Unless you're young. That's old people. 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the NET goes on to say, we tear down arguments and every arrogant obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God. See, this is the catabolism that's going on in our brain and in our country right now. And we take every thought captive to make it obey Christ. That's anabolism. So catabolism tear down, anabolism build up. And how we build it up is by bringing everything under the authority of Jesus. Because he is the ultimate. He is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So last time we concluded our brief study on the public lie. This brings us to study of the doctrine of evil. That is the function of Satan's lie that operates in opposition to righteousness. That's the function of God's word of truth. So here we have the two antithetical systems operating in opposition. And that's the basis of all the conflict in the world. That is the reason it exists. Satan invented it. He went to war with it. It continues to rage to this day. In ebbs and flows. Now, right now we're in an age of Thessalonians tells us, Paul in the book of Thessalonians, tells us that the Holy Spirit restrains. How does he do that? Through believers. See, the Holy Spirit's function towards humanity is only through believers with positive volition. We're not robots. That's the thing we've got to realize. We might sometimes wish we were, but we really don't. Because God's using volition to promote us to a place greater than we could ever become without it. So, since volition is the issue is, do you have the doctrine that the Holy Spirit can use to restrain the evil that the devil's trying to foist upon the world? And at this point in our country, you'd have to say, yeah, we do. The country's passing that test at the moment. We'll see how long it does. But for the moment, the curve is happening, going back towards the real, the truth. And we've elected a person to kind of lead the charge. Satan's policy is to rule the world in opposition to God is evil. Evil is therefore the modus operandi of Satan from the time of his fall throughout the angelic rebellion down to this present day. So this is how he took the angels out. And we can make this case. We know for a fact that a third of the angels remained under his authority. So a third of the angels adopted his definition of truth, he accepted his public lie, and are operating on that basis as we speak. And they're his agents for, well, the ones that are available for him to use, are his agents for the deception of the world. And now the invisible, Hebrews 6 tells us about, or Ephesians 6 tells us about this. We're going to see that briefly. And we see it all the time, because that's the passage that tells us to put on the armor of God. And why do we put on the armor of God? Well, because the battle is the Lord's. That's why. And we're up against these spiritual power systems that we can't see. Not visibly, not with eyes. But doctrine, you can. Doctrine gives you the capacity to see what you're really up against. So our battle is not against people. Our battle is against the invisible puppet masters. See, that's what our battle is really against, the puppet masters, which are the angels, the fallen angels. Evil is Satan's failure to produce a system of good in mankind and society that uses fake news in an attempt to establish his fake millennium on the earth. See, his objective is to create a time of perfect environment, recreate the Garden of Eden, in essence, what he's trying to do, with the human race the way it exists, without God the Holy Spirit. Well, you know that ain't going to work. That's impossible. But that's what he's trying to do. Evil is a system that Satan used to administer his rulership of this world, and Satan cannot restrain sin, and he can only parlay human good into sin and evil. So, see, he's in a serious position of weakness because of the fact that he can't actually deal with sin. You wonder why do the leftists all want to accommodate sin? Why do they make perversion legitimate and criminality legitimate? Why do they take away punishment for that kind of stuff? Why? Well, why would they do that? Well, there's your answer. Satan can't deal with it. So he has to accommodate it somehow. So how does he do that? He rewrites the books. The laws change. The rules change. The words change. You see? So when people want to do some perverse or evil thing, well, we got to accommodate that. And if you say no, then you're judgmental, and you're mean, and you're evil. You know, you're racist, sexist, homophobic. Whatever. Take your pick on labels that they're going to put on you, because you stand for truth. You see? That thing is, Satan has to create an environment where people don't stand for truth, because he cannot deal with absolute truth. Only God can. See, that's the problem. His entire position is based in a position of weakness, because he cannot handle absolute truth, because he can't deal with it. So he has to create another system. That's why people think we should coddle criminality and perversion. Well, not everybody, but people on the downside of this process. And if you notice, that was the trend in our country, because things that happen today that are considered passé were considered evil 40 years ago, or less even sometimes. You know, not thinkable, you know, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And 100 years ago, certainly. So that just tells you how deluded the situation has become, because of what's accepted as acceptable within the norms and standards of people. See, that's what has to be renovated when you have that. It's hard. Evil is a system that he uses to redefine good as bad, redefine righteousness as injustice, and to accept perversion for the purpose of accepting perversion and criminality. So he has to accommodate it. He can't deal with it. So that's why we have the trends we have in our country. You know, it's always good to know why something's happening. That way you can understand. And of course, God tells us how to deal with it with the Holy Spirit and rebound and the process of applying doctrine. So that's how you deal with it. But why is it that way? And what's causing it to persist? And why do people have such affinity with it? Well, they reject God and Jesus Christ. They have no other option. So you got to realize this is the broad way that leads to destruction. The narrow way that leads to life is Jesus. All right? That's it. There's only one way that leads to life. Jesus. The broad way of all these other options are satanic. Every one of them. There's only one thread through that whole system that's truth. And that's Jesus. If you want one name for it. The source of all evil and sin is thinking a lie, aka fake news. Thinking a lie, aka Satan's fake news, is also the source of human good that becomes the motivation for evil. Evil is therefore the function of the lie, aka fake news. So you wonder why fake news is so important to recognize? There it is. Because the more that's broadcast and accepted as true, the more evil is advanced. See, it's critical to recognize that. I mean, we live in this. This is, I mean, people like to spiritualize away the environment that we live in, the political world. This political world is the reality of this, of the war. Okay? Now, no, people are not the individual combatants per se. It's invisible. The combatants are really behind the scenes. The people are pawns in the game. But they're nonetheless the means of the communication. See, you're a communicator of truth if you have the Word of God in your thinking. So you're in opposition to that. Whereas others who don't have truth are communicating the lie. It goes back to exactly what was going on with Cain and Abel. And it's no different. It's just bigger. More people. Not any bigger, really. It's still 50%. That's an interesting number, isn't it? 50%. 50% on this side, 50% on this side. Well, it's kind of like it's been that way forever. Now, it's easy to divide 2 into 50 and get 1 and 1. But across the world, it's really not that much different when you get right down to it. Look at the votes. 50%. Hello? Those numbers are pretty consistent. And that's just the way it is. So half the people are involved with the lie and the other half are involved with truth or facets of it. Nobody has it perfect. I mean, the thing about the truth is it's only a single line. So there's a lot of places where we can deviate. And then we get accused because we deviate. We make a misstep. We got this big ocean we're walking across and it's got water. It's got stones underneath the surface. Okay, and you got to step on each one of these stones as you cross that swamp. Boom. Boom. You make a misstep and they're after you. You screwed up. No, kidding. I couldn't see where I was going. You know, the only way you can see it is with doctrine. And so they criticize and harass God's people when they make a stupid mistake. Well, okay, I made a dumb mistake. But they won't let you live it down. Why? Satan accuses a brethren day and night. That's why. One of his major attacks is accusation and innuendo. And so someone makes a mistake. And we're going to talk about the sin nature. That's an inside agent. Making us prone to make the mistake. You see, we got to unlearn what we had learned. And you used to believe this. Yeah, I did. I don't anymore though. And I think they accuse our president of this kind of crap all the time. Oh, you used to be this, you used to be that, you used to be this. Hello? I kind of grew up. I learned some stuff. They don't give you any space. Oh, they give themselves. Oh, they give themselves an ocean of space. You can't accuse them of nothing. Well, you can, but then they call you a name. You see? That's how unequal it is. The reason it is because of this. See, God's allowed this to happen, and the purpose for it is to make it infinitely clear when the truth is stated. People who are doctrinal are more powerful than they imagine. That's one of the things you're going to get out of this. You have more invisible power than you can imagine. Now, the people around you may not care, but the people that care, the people that matter, the invisible bosses, they care. They are scared to death. Because every time you show up and explain doctrine, they think of Jesus. Because remember, you're representing Him. And when He finally does show up here, they're toast. Gone. History. Lake of fire time, baby. That's where they're going. I'm talking about the demons. The invisible sphere. I mean, they're going to get transferred to the abyss. And then some of them are going to get loose for a brief period after the millennium so Satan can foist a, I don't know, he's the only one who gets loose. He just do it all by himself. They get transferred directly from the abyss into lake of fire. And it tells us in Matthew they're already consigned to lake of fire. I mean, God's already said that's where they should be. They're only not there because of you and me. You ever think about that? You're the reason Satan's not in lake of fire. You. You're the reason. Because God's using Satan to sharpen you and make you stronger and make you greater than Satan. Okay, that's what he's doing. See, God's parlaying that failure into your success. Well, if you submit to his protocol. See, that's what we're being presented with. The greatest potential of all is you in union with Jesus. And that's a positional reality the moment you believe in Jesus. Guaranteed face to face with the Lord the moment you die. Experience? Well, we have problems there. Sometimes. But that's what 1 John 1:9 is all about. That, and all that is come clean with God. It's real simple. The source of all evil is thinking a lie, aka fake news. And thinking a lie, aka fake news, is also the source of human good that becomes the motivation for evil. So again, it's interesting. I've been thinking about, we talk about a right thing done in a right way, a right thing done in a wrong way, a wrong thing done in a wrong way. But guess what? You can't do a wrong thing in a right way. Because the gateway starts at the beginning. Now think about that. That's a truth table. If you're familiar with a truth table, a truth table is when you take a binary system of mathematics, where you have only two digits, 0 and 1, and you make a 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. Okay, that's a truth table. That counts 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay, and then it goes 1, 0, 0, that's 4. That's how computers think. Okay, they do it real fast, but that's how they think. Everything is done in binary. And so it's a basic four-position truth table, but you can't do in the system because of the gateway. Gateway 1, filled with the Spirit, not filled with the Spirit. So that's a 1 and a 0. But you can't, once you get down here, you can't be on the wrong side, you can't make a good decision, ever. So you're limited. That's a mutually exclusive state. In computerese, they map things, and sometimes you have what's called mutually exclusive states. They can't exist. In other words, they're mapped out of the picture. So a wrong thing done in a right way is mapped out. Because you can't do a wrong thing in a right way. There's no such way to do it, because you've got to be filled with the Spirit to do a right thing. And you can't do a wrong thing when you're filled with the Spirit. That's what John tells us. See, a person who's filled by the Spirit automatically does the right thing. So that's why the challenge in the spiritual life is to be filled with the Spirit. It's not to do all these do's and don'ts and be good. I mean, not to say that doesn't happen. It does, but it's on the back side. If you're filled with the Spirit, you will always do the right thing. You have to sin to do a wrong thing. And then you're already doing a wrong thing in a wrong way. You see. And so what's interesting in that truth table, a right thing in a right way is divine good. That's where we're supposed to run. That's where God expects us to run. That's where the doctrine tells us to run. The other two, one of them is sin, and one of them is evil. See, a right thing done the wrong way is evil. It's human good. Not necessarily a sin. And a wrong thing done in a wrong way is sin and evil. So all evil is sin. All sin is evil, but not all evil is sin. See, that's the way that whole thing maps out. So in your head, that's the way you can visualize it. It's real simple. So if you're walking by means of the Spirit, you're always going to do the right thing. That's why I'm constantly harping on that. There's nothing that you can do that's wrong when you're filled with the Spirit. Okay? It's that simple. It's a gateway. And that's a mutually exclusive status quo. When you're filled with the Spirit, you're always in the right place. And sure, you're going to do the right thing. Unless you choose to sin, which in case you're not. You just violated the protocol. See? So it's real simple. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit. That's why Paul harps on that so much. I harp on that for the same reason. Keep on walking by means of the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust patterns of the old sin nature. And evil is designed to cause us to make the bad decision. It sets us up to fail. And the reason we fail is arrogance generally, but the arrogance comes from multiple sources. A lot of arrogance simply comes from ignorance. We think we know something we don't. And we allege that we know something and we don't, and we actually get out here and we find out we don't know. And we fail because we made a mistake. Now, that's easy to fix if that's where you stop. But if you develop a tendency to use evil, then you have developing patterns in your head. So you're going to make choices. Your norms and standards are going to be educated by evil. Your frame of reference is going to be educated by evil. See, that's what happened to Paul. You wonder why Paul was, when the light bulb went on his head, it was crazy. I mean, he had more doctrine than anybody else. Probably the most brilliant person ever for the New Testament. Okay, Pharisee of the Pharisees. Those guys had to memorize the law. They had to know, and he was the best. Okay? He couldn't be a high priest. Wrong tribe. All right? Not Levite. So, but he could be a hitman or some big boss right at the side of the high priest. The major go-to guy. That's who he could be. He couldn't be the high priest, but he could be the next to it. Right? Because he's wrong tribe. So, he was absolutely determined to be the absolute best as he could be. And he was totally at his best at being wrong in the wrong way. Because God had changed the story. We used to have the Jews, and now we've got Jesus. And these guys rejected him. So when the light went on the road to Damascus, all this stuff started framing his, the Holy Spirit started reorganizing all his data. And it took him 3 or 4 years, 5 years to get that done. Because he was in the desert for a bunch of years. All right? Getting his act together. He knew the doctrine, he just didn't know how it lined up. So you take someone that's like that, that can become powerful really fast. That's what's going to happen to the 144,000 when we get gone out of here. The light's going to go on in their brain, and they're going to be so powerful you ain't going to believe it. They're going to scare the crap out of the beast and the false prophet. They're going to be martyred. But they aren't going to be allowed to be martyred. That's another one that's going to get them. That's funny. Well, eventually they are. But now God's going to use them for a while to give these guys a hard time. They're going to be more powerful than you can imagine. Because they're going to have all this doctrine that they've got stored in their heads all aligned wrong, and they're making bad decisions because they're not filled with the Spirit. You see, that's the only reason. If they knew, Paul says it, if they knew that he was Christ, they wouldn't have crucified him. They didn't know. Well, they deceived themselves into not knowing. See, evil. See, Satan got him with the evil. And we're going to see how he did that with the woman. The whole thing starts with the woman. I mean, it had to start with somebody. And in the system, you understand why. It was because she was the responder. It's her role. She just got to respond to the wrong person. Jesus instead of Jesus. Satan instead of Jesus. Right? So that was all. Easy to do. She's saved. She's in heaven. So, whatever. She made the right call afterwards. Let's see here. Where was I? All right. I think I'll just back up here. Evil is a system that Satan needs to administer his rulership of the world. He cannot restrain sin, and he can only parlay human good into sin and evil. It's a system that he uses to redefine good as bad, righteousness as injustice, accept perversion and criminality. So, because remember, in this case, in his system, righteousness, perversion, and criminality are equal. Right? They're the same. Because they can't stop it. You know, that's called multiculturalism. You want another word for that? Multiculturalism. You wonder why multiculturalism is such a big deal in our country? That's it. Right there. There is only one culture that's legitimate. One. I'm totally politically incorrect, and I don't give a crap. Christianity is the only culture that's worth anything. The rest of them are all just a pile of garbage. Worse than that. Actually, Paul has a word for it. We won't say it today. Right now. Maybe later. So the source of all evil and sin is thinking, a.k.a. the fake news. And thinking Satan's fake news is also the source of human good that comes a motivation for evil. And evil is therefore the function of the lie or the fake news. So the lie, which has been our topic, becomes a narrative that perpetuates evil. See, that's why the lie is so, that's why the fake news is so important. Because you've got to broadcast it. And if you haven't noticed, they got the biggest speakers. They're yelling at it all the time. That's what they do. They got all the media. Jesus talked about Elijah. Yeah, it was Elijah. The still small voice in Elijah. Remember, Elijah was on hiatus. Remember, Elijah had his problems. What did he do? What did Elijah do? Can you tell him what he did? He killed the 450 prophets of Baal. That was his bad deal, man. He's been chasing around. The evil woman. Jezebel was chasing him around trying to kill him. All right? He got mad. And so finally he has this big, we talked about this with the Seed of the Woman series. He had this big battle with these people. He had them all lined up. And he said, well, we're going to see whose God is really God. All right? And so he gives them all day long to have somebody light their fire by lightning. Okay? and they didn't happen. And he waits till the evening sacrifice. Now, of course, what's that mean? Time, right time. He dumps water all over it. He makes it complete. He builds a big lake. He puts the sacrifice inside a big lake. And at the evening sacrifice, boom! There's a crater, and there's nothing left. Smoke. He was doing the right thing at the right time. You see, that's what happens when you do the right thing. It might seem obvious, but it's almost the same. So, in the spiritual world, it is. You just don't see it. So, anyways, then he turns around and he kills all the 430 or 450 prophets of Baal. That was his mistake. It was his job. It was Ahab's job. And he was Jezebel's husband. He wasn't going to do it because she would be real mad at him. And he didn't. She wore the pants in that house. That was why he was such a bad guy. A bad king. And it was his kid that actually got his eyes put back. So anyway, whatever. So the point is that Jezebel and her prophets were chasing, and he runs off, and God feeds him with a crow in the middle of the desert. And he has these visions and stuff, and God's speaking to him with a loud voice, and eventually he figures it out that God's going to talk to him with a real quiet voice. See, God's not ostentatious. He's talking to you through your conscience. Is your conscience attuned to the Word? When you have a conundrum in life, what are you going to listen to? Are you going to listen to the big broadcast that's going on out here? Or are you going to listen to the still, small voice that's coming out of your soul because you got some doctrine? See, that's what you got to listen to. God does not browbeat anybody. He says, you know, you might ought to think about doing it this way. Oh, you're saying this to yourself, actually. You know, this is what the doctrine says. I really ought to do that. I know it's not a fun thing. It's not going to help me personally right now in this circumstance. In fact, it might cause me some problems. It's still the right thing to do, though, right? Yeah, okay, we need to do that. That's what God does for you. The doctrine is recalled to your mind by the Holy Spirit, and He gives you the capacity to determine what you're supposed to do in that circumstance. And it's not always consistent with what you think will get you the best advantage, but it's the right thing to do. That's what you're supposed to do. See, that's what doctrine does for you. No megaphones. Still, small voice. What did Paul say? Same words, basically. Consider what I say, and the Holy Spirit give you understanding. That's what he said to Timothy. When Timothy was rejecting some of the concepts he was presenting. He thought Paul was too mean. He probably was. But Paul didn't, he didn't have time for this crap. He was not sentimental. It was matter of fact, he'd been there, done that. Why do I put up with this crap? That's what his attitude was. It seems like he was very harsh. But he really wasn't. He had sensitivity, but he just didn't have any time for garbage. Evil pursues the cosmic panaceas of equality and equal justice through socialism and communism, and evil rewards criminality and perversion while plundering, punishing, and destroying righteousness that is the function of truth. You see, evil doesn't have any capacity to create anything. That's the thing. Other thing you got to realize here. God provides all the resources for both sides of the battle. You might think that's weird. Well, if he didn't, there wouldn't be a battle. You see, God has to provide the beans and bullets for the opposite side. Now, most of the time, they steal it from God's people. Because God blesses His people, then they go south, or should I say left, and as a result, they give it away, you know, by some stupid thing like global warming or whatever. Take your pick on dumbness. You know, and Satan plunders them. He takes all their money and turns it into socialism. Right? Because the only way you actually have any real production is with capitalism. See, that's God's system. And people chafe at that. Because that guy has a whole lot more than I do, and I'm mad at him. I'm mad at him because he's got all that stuff. It's not fair. I should have that. But the truth of the matter is you shouldn't have it because you don't. You see? He has it because he's applied or been associated with someone who applied doctrine in some manner or fashion. And that's why he has it. And it isn't because of him either. It's about Jesus and grace. See, God graces people out. So, the reason people get like that, they become jealous and envious, invictive, implacable, they get all these weird mental attitude sins, is because they don't understand why that guy has that, and they don't. If they did, if doctrine tells us why they have it. So you can have an absolute tranquil idea when people have this, when there's this hyper divergence between the rich and the poor. Now, remember, that kind of a divergence is satanic. It's a demon, it's a property, it's a consequence of demon thinking to have this great divergence. Why is it that way though? Because you have the people who have everything that have stolen it from everybody else. That's what's going on there. And that's what happens in socialism and communism. So you're going to have a greater divergence. Just go around the world and look. Countries that used to be Christian or have been Christian and related to our establishment, you have a middle class. I talk this all the time. God's people are always in the middle class. Now there's a few over here and there's a few over here, whatever. But the majority of God's people are dead center in the middle class. Somewhere. They may be towards the top or the bottom. It don't matter. They're in the middle class. Doctrine creates a middle class. All the prosperity is always in the middle class. What attacks the middle class? Socialism and communism. You see? Hello? What do we have going on in our country right now? A war between the decision between capitalism and socialism. Well, it's not real hard to decide which side you want to be on there. That's why I say you can't be a Christian and be a Democrat. Sorry. You can allege to be, but you ain't. You're a believer maybe, and you're going to heaven, but you don't know squat. So you ain't no Christian. There's the word Christ in Christian? That ain't you. He knows you, but you don't know squat about him. Alright? That's the thing. We got lots of people like that. Going to heaven? All the advantages of blessing by association in this country? Drags. They're boat anchors on the country. You know? We got one of them in the Senate. Right? Ahithophel Romney. You can figure that one out. Whenever the mental attitude sins of right self-righteous arrogance combines with human good and sincerity, a nation becomes saturated with evil. See, the issue is sentimentality and sincerity. Sincerity is not divine good. See, evil people are sincere. If you run yourself over into Iraq, Iran, wrong country, used to be Iraq, might still be, some of it. Yeah, lots of it. They're tied with Iran. That's the problem we got over there. They took over the government. Anyways, if you go to Iran, they will sincerely put you to death because you're a Christian. Okay? They will. You go to China, they'll sincerely put you in jail because you're a Christian. You think there's any surprise that this is going on over there? Mm-mm. Some things are just above our pay grade. But nothing's above Jesus' pay grade. And don't be surprised how this works out. The principle is that if Satan, as the ruler of this world, is not capable of ruling the world he controls, then it is not possible for men to rule it either. See, this is the big thing. People are trying to rule the world using human systems. Can't be done. The only way you can effectively rule a country is with divine establishment. That's God doing it. You know, you're his agent because you're deploying his doctrine, but ultimately he's running the show. You're using his system to solve the problem. Divine establishment. This is why mankind's problems cannot be resolved by the application of human solutions. So they have all these problems. They invent problems. I mean, they're constantly inventing problems. This Green New Deal, they invented that. That's just garbage. I don't know where that came from. Somebody, for some reason, thinks that the earth has always been a certain way for a certain time, and we've only been here for how long? I mean, when did we start keeping weather records? 150, 200 years ago? I mean, that's not very long. The Earth has been around here for how long? I mean, even if you take the short version of it, which isn't right, it's still only 6,000 years. Well, 100 or 200 years over 6,000 ain't nothing. I mean, how do you know what it's supposed to be like? You don't. And we have promises from God that no matter what happens, we got it covered. He's got it covered. You know, so the water rises a little bit on the ocean. Or a lot. Who knows? I mean, we know for a fact that at one point in time in Genesis, the whole earth was covered with water. No, that's interesting. How do you do that? And then all the water went away somewhere. Okay, so it can come back, maybe some of it. Who knows? But who are we? We seem to think that we're going to change this? Nah, you're not going to change it. It's just a ploy. It's an evil ploy to steal and plunder from God's people. Who pays the price for this thing, this big lie? Who? Western civilization nations. Who's falling for this crap? Western Europe. Who are they? Well, they used to be client nations. Right? United States, Canada, anybody associated with that, they're the ones that are falling for it. Is China falling for it? Are you kidding me? They don't give a rip. They don't care. Is Russia? Nah, they don't care. So, Satan's nations are totally ignoring global warming. God's nations are thinking it's important. What's wrong with this picture? You are trying to do something that isn't going to fix the problem. It's just going to plunder you and make you like Satan's nation. That's what it's all about. See, Satan's advancing his evil agenda on the back of that public lie. And stupid believers are falling for it. I'm talking stupid. All over the place stupid. So no, I don't believe it. And I don't care if it is true. Go away and leave me alone. I'm going to burn coal. If I want, if it's cheaper. The imputation and function of God's perfect righteousness, that is the application of God's word of truth, is the only solution to the problems of life. So ultimately, absolute truth and connected with absolute righteousness is the only real solution. Which means you've got to call perversion, perversion, and criminality, criminality. You see, you can't have all this gray, multiculturalism crap. You can't have that. It don't work. You've got to absolutely define what's right and wrong and reward that which is right. And I've talked about that. God is always in the business of rewarding positive volition. God is more interested in rewarding positive volition than he is in disciplining negative volition. See, we got to get that into our heads. The upside is way bigger than the downside. Okay? The worst that can happen to you is you get thrown in the lake of fire. Now, that may be a bad problem, and it is, but the blessing on the upside is much bigger. God does not care in the end. Final solution. Now, God loves everyone. Okay, when I say that, that's integrity. That means, integrity love means God's going to do the right thing for the person at the right time. Because of him, not because of them. Since there is a lake of fire, and God is perfect, it's righteous to put people there. And if you say it's not, then you're questioning God's perfection. Who are you? He says it is. I say it is, because I agree with him. I don't know nothing. I just do what it says. So, anyways, that's the point of that. Now people say, oh, that's terrible. That's sentimentality. It's a waste of time. These people are evil. They've had a lot of chances, more chances than they deserve, and they say no. Okay, fine. What do you do with someone that says no? You got to deal with them, right? God's not going to coddle criminals. So, lake of fire is your destiny in that case. Now, on the other side, his blessings to crew max over and over again to the positive believer. So, he drowns evil in the ocean of grace. That's what he does. Completely drowns it. The sufferings of this life are not to be compared with the blessings of the eternal state. So the sufferings of the entire human race are like a thimble full of a drop that you drop in an ocean. That's it. And God's blessings just completely overwhelm it to the positive people. See, that's how God solves the problem. It's not like Satan. Satan tries to reduce the ocean so that he can compensate the evil. Alright? That's what Satan tries to do. Good luck. Ain't happening. Ultimately, it's going to fail. But God lets him try. And he gets away with it. Now, when you look at countries that have gone down that path, and you can see them. You got Russia, you got China, you got Korea. You've got Venezuela, you've got Cuba, you know, countries all over the place that have done this. Cambodia, at various times in history, not always. I mean, I was doing some interesting study thinking about, you know, they talk about the Arabic numbering system. And I said, well, why were they so smart? I mean, Muslims don't know nothing. They are really stupid. So the question is, how did they get that smart? Well, it was before they had it. It was before Muhammad showed up. and it's called Hindu Arabic. He was dead. He wasn't born yet. That's all. So they got to realize that section of the world had doctrine. Who's from there? Well, Abraham, the boys. I mean, it goes all the way down through. That's before they got wiped out by that stupid religion they got. So I mean, you go back and look at when certain things happened, and there's always got to be Jesus somewhere. He's got to be there. I mean, you don't get production, you don't get invention, you don't get any of the stuff that people like to have without freedom. Okay? And you can't have freedom without truth. So there's a synclinon there. If you figure out that there's some kind of great prosperity and blessing coming from some group of individuals, you got to find the truth. Where is it? It isn't what they believe today, because they're ignorant. So somewhere, see, these people all had their time. They were the great nations of the world at one time. And so they had great blessing and prosperity from God. We don't think about that. Nobody knows anything about history. We can't remember yesterday, let alone 5,000 years ago or 4,000. It was 600 A.D. anyways, just for fun. And the Mohammed shows up around 620 A.D. This is A.D. Now, this is current era. You know, this is after Jesus. Mohammed shows up 600 years after Jesus. And he's supposed to be such a great person? I don't think so. You see, that's the problem. That people ascribe all these great things to them. But they're nothing. They have blessing because of Abraham. I mean, the ones that started this whole thing, anyway. It's gone other places. Yeah, I'm not going to say it hasn't. But at the hotbed of the place, the Arabs, they're the other kids of Abraham. And all the prosperity they have is from Abraham. Where did he get it? Jesus. That's called the Abrahamic covenant. So all this goes back to Jesus. And if you look through history, you're going to find that's the case everywhere. Somewhere along the path, even the Germans with Adolf and the boys, they're walking on the back of the Christian faith they plundered it. All the money they came up with to do what they did came from Christianity. They plundered the people. They moved into all these countries over there and they stole everything they had. All right? They didn't do nothing except steal from God's people. That's what evil does. That's my point here. God allows evil people to steal from His people. He allows evil people to kill His people. Remember, the moment you die, you're face to face with Jesus. God won your battle for you. You see, He won. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His godly ones. So that means anybody who dies, it's a believer in Jesus Christ, just won. And God had that victory. We didn't. Okay? That's the way we look at death. It's God's victory. Who are we to question God's victory when He decides to move on somebody? You know, I was listening about this poor helicopter crash that got all the noise out there with those rich people in Hollywood. It's sad looking at this story. That guy was 100 feet from clear air. And he turned. Because what he did, he was flying down a canyon, and he ran into this wall of fog. Couldn't see. The standard exit path is to go straight up. But you can do that in helicopters. That's why they let them fly on almost, you know, total obscured situations. He turned, and the other way, in a fixed wing, you got to turn around. Because you can't keep, and you can, when you're in a fixed wing, you got to turn, you can't just hover. See, so the helicopters can do all kinds of cool stuff. So his job as in that situation was to go vertical. Well, he went up about 3,000 feet, and had he gone another 100, he'd have been in the clear. But at 3,000, he turned, and it put him into the mountain. That's what happened. He was so close. And if he just, all he had to do is hover. They saw him on radar. They saw him pop up. But he didn't keep climbing. He should have climbed one more 100 feet. And it would have been daylight. Not a cloud in the sky. It tells you how close you can get, but close only works in horseshoes. It's got to be right. Got to be exactly right. So he had a plan, and he was trying to work it. He didn't work it far enough. Because that's something you can't do in fixed wing. I never flown a helicopter. Evil is a function and innovation of those who are consistently involved in the public lie that Satan's cosmic system creates. See, people are perpetually sucked into and perpetuating the public lie in their application of evil. So anytime you think about it, I mean, you remember, the only way you're not operating in evil is walk by means of the Spirit. Because everything done outside of the filling ministry of the Spirit is evil. All the good or so-called good is not really good. It's evil. All the bad, the sins, are evil. So the remedy to this whole thing is walk by means of the Spirit. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word. The blessing it is for us to understand what it is we're doing here on this earth and why. And your provision for it. And how it is you're taking advantage of the evil of the cosmos to promote us into a position far beyond what we could ask or imagine. Help us to recall and apply this as we face the challenges that you allow to come into our lives for our benefit, that we might glorify you through our application of your word. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen.